Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about Tesla's research and development expenditures. For some reason, this has popped up as a topic today, so I wanted to share my thoughts. Also talk about a note from Goldman Sachs. This was from earlier this week on Tuesday, but there are some interesting items in there that I wanted to discuss. Also got an update on Tesla's handling of the prioritization of FSD orders, news from LG on another battery factory, an update on Elon Musk's board position on another company, and then a scheduling note at the end. All right, so Tesla's stock streak has continued. This is the eighth trading day in a row that Tesla has finished positive, up 1.5% today to $1,013.92. This did trail a little bit behind the NASDAQ. We'll take it given the overperformance of the last week or so, but the NASDAQ with a strong day today, finishing up 1.9%. We're now getting to the point where we can start to keep an eye on if this might become the longest streak ever for Tesla. For context, that was back in January of 2021, 11 trading days in a row finishing positive. So we'll see if Tesla can match that. That'd be Friday, Monday, and Tuesday as we head into the last week here of the first quarter. All right, so first up today, I want to spend a second talking about Tesla's research and development expenditures. For whatever reason, this has been a topic covered by Barron's, Electrek, some others today. They're citing new research on this from some stock blog, which I don't know why it's really presented as research because it's literally just taking Tesla's R&D expenditures from their quarterly filing and dividing it by the number of vehicles sold and then doing the same for other automakers. And then using that to say that Tesla spends more on research and development per vehicle than any other automaker at about $3,000 per car, versus the average right around $1,000 per vehicle. You can then take that and depending on your agenda, you can present that as a negative or a positive. From a negative perspective, you can say, look, Tesla is spending a lot per vehicle, very inefficient. Or you can say, hey, Tesla's spending more in R&D per vehicle. They must be investing heavily in the future. I think both of these would be mischaracterizations and kind of miss the broader point, which really should be of the R&D spending that these automakers have, how efficient have they been? What have they accomplished with it? What sort of returns are they getting on that R&D instead of just trying to break it down to a per vehicle level? If we're just looking at a per vehicle level, heck, let's throw Rivian in there because last quarter they spent $726 million on R&D and that was $789,000 per car. So a couple points from that. First, obviously Tesla not spending the most per car on R&D. And the second, this just highlights how this is a bad metric to look at anyway, because the earlier a company is in their growth curve, the fewer vehicles they're going to have sold and the higher their R&D expenses are going to be per vehicle. So trying to categorize that as positive or negative is completely meaningless. That is very much not thinking from a first principles perspective. This is basically just another form of the same nonsense that we used to hear about Tesla losing money on every single car that they sold. It's basically taking what we're always talking about with Tesla developing operating leverage, but instead of looking at it from that point of view, just completely going to the other side, and in the process, completely obscuring your ability to see what's actually going on. So what is actually going on? Well, let's take a look at some of the R&D spending of a couple of these companies. We'll look at Ford and GM versus Tesla, but throw in any other legacy automaker, it's going to be pretty much the exact same story. So here is Ford's R&D spending over the last few years. They also lump engineering into that. It's not clear how they would delineate those items, but for R&D and engineering, they're spending, you know, about $7 billion on average per year over the last few years. Over the last 5 years in total, it comes to $38.3 billion. As for GM, they just say research and development, and the numbers here look very similar, about $7 billion per year on average, $36 billion in total over the last 5 years. Then we look at Tesla, and while this one looks quite a bit different, obviously it's been ramping up, but Tesla's spending about $1.5 to $2.5 billion annually on R&D. Over the last 5 years, Tesla's R&D expenses only come to $8.3 billion in total. So when we talk about R&D, what matters the most here is that over the last 5 years, Tesla has spent about 20% what Ford and GM have spent on R&D, and despite that, Tesla's been able to develop the world's leading electric vehicles and also create vehicles that are so profitable that they're poised in the next 12 to 18 months to likely surpass the earnings power of these companies, GM and Ford. That's what matters, not what the R&D happens to amortize out over on a per vehicle basis right now as Tesla continues to ramp up production. That's dropped over time. It'll likely continue to drop, but even if it doesn't, that means that Tesla's probably going to get a continued very strong return on that R&D spend, which they have consistently proven to be very capable of doing. Legacy automakers, GM and Ford, despite these big R&D budgets, they have not shown that capability. As for newer companies like Rivian, well, the jury is still out, but that high initial spending has got to be concerning because you just have to get that much stronger of a return to justify that amount. And if we look at Tesla as a comparison, you can see here from 2011 to 2013, the period of time when Tesla was launching the Model S, doing development on the Model X, Tesla over that 3 years spent $715 million on research and development. Rivian last quarter, 1 quarter, 90 days, spent $726 million on R&D. That's more than Tesla spent in that 3 years, over 1,000 days. With that high base right off the bat, it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, to get the kind of return on investment on their R&D spending that Tesla has been able to achieve. So anyway, those are my thoughts on the R&D topic. The other thing that I'll add here is that even though that part of the conversation we mostly focused on electric vehicles, Tesla's R&D budget is much broader than that. Obviously, autonomy, a huge component there. I obviously think that Tesla's developed the best ADAS system in the world with that limited budget, and hopefully a system that will eventually lead to true FSD. It also has a budget for AI, obviously Dojo in there, Tesla Energy, solar. A lot of things that Tesla is fitting into that relatively limited budget, again, just showing their efficiency and also the inefficiency of others. All right, so moving on, wanted to briefly touch on this Goldman Sachs note. Again, this isn't new today, but rather on Tuesday. The Goldman Sachs auto analyst team, including Mark Delaney, out with a note lowering their industry-wide automotive forecasts and the earnings per share and share price targets for some companies. They write, quote, "In this note, we lower our auto industry forecast in conjunction with our colleagues, mostly driven by Europe and to a lesser extent by North America, to reflect additional supply chain challenges. We also update our estimates to reflect the industry outlook and rising input costs, e.g. raw materials and logistics, analyze downside EPS scenarios given the increased probability of a recession per our economics team, and we lower price targets for several stocks. While we continue to expect auto volumes to improve in second half 2022 and further in 2023, we believe there is a wide range of potential outcomes stemming from the war in Ukraine and its impact on the supply chain. We continue to believe that stocks of companies that can navigate the current operating environment and capitalize on key growth opportunities like EVs, autonomy, and data center will outperform." End quote. So with those things in mind, they have now reduced their global automotive production expectations to 81.6 million, down 4% from 85 million previously. As for their individual company expectations, they've reduced their earnings per share estimates for Ford and GM by 9% and 2% respectively, but they also say that, quote, "Conversely, we modestly raise our Tesla earnings per share estimate mostly on higher pricing, with Tesla recently raising prices across its full lineup, and to a lesser extent on higher volumes. Positives in our view include Tesla's ability to navigate the supply chain, recent government approval for the new Berlin factory, and potentially higher demand for EVs following the rise in oil prices," end quote. They do there mention raw materials prices. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And also note, as we have noted, the higher interest in EVs from Google search trends. They did there mention slightly raising their volume forecast for Tesla. Later in the note, they give the specifics there, saying that they increased their 2022 estimate by 10,000 vehicles and 2023 and 2024 estimates by 35,000 apiece. As for raw materials price increases, they did share just some rough guesses on what that might look like for an average electric vehicle. This was just based on comparing spot prices on average in 2021 to what we have seen recently. They'd say roughly $150 increase from the price of aluminum, $100 increase from copper, $650 from nickel, assuming a nickel-based battery, and then they estimate that some of that would be offset slightly by steel prices, maybe to the tune of about $200 per vehicle. So in total across those materials, that'd be about a $700 price increase, again, just based on the spot prices, but obviously there are other materials in the vehicle too. That's not comprehensive. So just estimates there, but not something that can't be overcome, and Tesla doing a lot of things working in the opposite direction in terms of cost with efficiency and scale. I think the Goldman Sachs estimates here can give us more confidence that the price increases that we have seen from Tesla will be additive, or if I want to talk like an analyst, constructive towards Tesla's gross profit. Last item from the note then, just to look at their price targets, they've dropped both Ford and GM price targets by about 10%, and despite the increases for Tesla, they've held their price target even at $1,200 per share. As we have talked about, analysts can tend to do this. They can just drop the multiple and end up keeping the same price target. That's exactly what Goldman Sachs has done here. You can see in their old price target, they were giving a 14 times multiple to Q5 through Q8 enterprise value to sales. That means next year enterprise value to sales. In this new price target, they've just dropped that simply to 13 times. Obviously, the excuse there would be macro environment suppressing multiples, and that's fair. But as we have talked about before, it's a little bit contradictory to be raising estimates, implying faster growth, which should actually imply a higher multiple, but then at the same time, you go ahead and go the other way and lower the multiple, and then at the same time, also lowering expectations for competitors, meaning Tesla's competitive position would also be stronger in the forecast that you're laying out. So, like I said, a little bit contradictory, but it is what it is. Had they kept the same multiple, their price target would have been about $1,292 per share, up from $1,200. All right, next up, we've got an update on orders that include FSD. So, as we've talked about before, Tesla has started to prioritize the delivery of orders that opt for FSD. Makes sense, as those orders carry higher margin, and we should see that have an impact certainly in Q2, if not in Q1. But there had been a little bit of a loophole here. You could actually add FSD to your order and get that earlier delivery estimate, and then go ahead after ordering and remove the FSD option and maintain that earlier delivery wait time. Tesla has caught on to people doing that now. Drive Tesla Canada sharing an image out that Tesla has added the language saying that if you remove the FSD option, it will potentially delay your delivery date. If nothing else, it's confirmation of the intention of that strategy from Tesla. And it's also kind of interesting because that in and of itself might actually increase the take rate on FSD because people might just be impatient and add it to their order that may not have ordered it otherwise to move up in line. As for the impact on margins, we'll see. Right now, Tesla can't actually recognize all of FSD. It's about half. But if they further expand the beta, they might start recognizing almost all of that in the US. That would already be a strong tailwind for Q2, especially so if you pull forward orders that have FSD. It's going to be very interesting to see how margins progress this year. Next, we've just got a little bit more news from LG. We talked yesterday about their plans for a battery factory in Canada with Stellantis. Today we have news that they plan to also build a battery factory in Arizona. This one is a little bit smaller. It's a $1.4 billion investment. They'll start construction in the second quarter this year, with the goal of getting to volume production in the second half of 2024. So pretty similar timeline to the Canada factory, but this one will be targeting 11 gigawatt hours of annual battery production capacity. All right, last couple of things here. First, an update on Elon Musk. You may remember that last year we had sort of the strange news that Elon had joined the board of Endeavor Group Holdings, the owner of UFC, also a talent agency, a couple of other businesses as well. But that board seat was short-lived. The company announced last week that Elon Musk plans to exit the board of directors in June. The disclosure filing said that the resignation decision was not the result of any disagreement with the company on any matter relating to its operations, policies, or practices. A source said it was a matter of time constraints. Well, yeah, I would certainly say that that makes sense. All right, last thing for today, just a quick scheduling update. Unfortunately, likely no episode tomorrow as long as nothing crazy happens. I am going to be heading down to Chicago tomorrow to go to the Sweet 16 game because Iowa State is playing in it. I grew up in Ames, always rooted for Iowa State, a lot of family and friends that went there. Never been to an NCAA tournament game, so with them playing in the Sweet 16 kind of against all odds as an 11 seed, and with it being so close, felt like a great opportunity to do that and probably not going to be able to fit the podcast in with that as well. So my apologies, it's been a quiet couple of days. Hopefully it will continue that for one more day, and we'll be back to it on Monday. So until then, have an amazing weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you on Monday for the March 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.